Hi, everyone, and welcome to Murder Friends, the podcast where three friends from three different countries talk about murder. My name's Alana, and I'm Canadian.
I'm Anna, and I'm American.
My name's Hannah, and I'm British.
So sit back and relax. You're among friends, and let's talk murder.
You made it to the end of the year.
Well, we haven't yet. Not yet.
Anna, yes, we have.
I feel like this year I don't want to say anything. Because really anything is possible. And you know what was the icing on the cake for me today? I'm going to tell you. I saw there's like this real... So do you guys know what Lifetime is? You might know, Alana. Do you know Lifetime?
Yes.
So Lifetime movies are the absolutely cheesy made-for-TV movies, like B-movies. And so
in the
UK...
Hallmark movies?
Yeah, Hallmark movies or... I think they do them like Movie 24 or something is where they play them in the UK.
Like straight to VHS.
Ooh. Yeah. Like they're made for TV. Yeah. They're all like the same, all of them. And they just, and then at Christmas time they do a bunch of them. But for some reason they're more acceptable at Christmas and I definitely watch them. But there was one with Mario Lopez that's coming out. I'm hoping it's more of a spoof because if it's not, I really can't. And Mario Lopez, did you guys ever watch Saved by the Bell? That was like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite. Loved it. Like, grew up watching Saved by the Bell. So, Mario Lopez was A.C. Slater. Do you remember him? He was, like, the beefy one, like, the jock one with the dark hair. Well, he's gone on to – Mario Lopez paid him, and he's gone on to have, like, a career. I think he's, like, a TV show now. He's still around doing things. I don't know what exactly. And they're doing, like, a Lifetime movie – where him as, like, a hunky Colonel Sanders for KFC called, like, Recipe what? For Seduction.
No.
Wait, Colonel Sanders needs love, too.
I know. He's, like, a really, like, a sexy Colonel Sanders.
Those words shouldn't go together.
Sexy, I know, right? Colonel
No.
Now, it may just be, like, an advertisement type thing that they're doing, but I just can't. Even if it's a joke, it's just not funny. Don't joke with us like that this year. We just can't take it. And it's gone too far. So that was like my moment today where I was like, really? You know, I'm ready for anything now. What about you guys?
I've got nothing.
I know. It's been rough. So UK-wise, we're like obviously where we all three live. We are tier three. So... which is essentially lockdown, nearly. Like, it's not really any different, except I think, like, clothing shops are open now, right?
Yeah, that's about it.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I went to Bluewater for the first time in probably all year to finish up, like, last-minute Christmas stuff. And I don't know about the general opinion, but I love the fact that Bluewater has a one-way walking system now. Ooh. So there's like little lines on the floor and you have to walk, you know, on the left, or if you want to cross over, you can only cross over at certain parts and then you have to walk on the other side. I love it. I think everything needs to have a one-way walking system. It's so fabulous. It's so easy to pass people because everybody's going in the same direction. And my biggest pet peeve would be going to a Bluewater, you know, last year back when crowds were a thing and people aren't looking where they're going and they run into you and there's like strollers coming at you. No. One-way walking system. I think every place should have one.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it too. It's like the less I can interact with people, the better almost. Like, I have to deal with it.
I just don't want people touching me like ever.
Exactly. My space.
Ever.
Yeah.
In any capacity. So social distancing for me has been good. Haven't been like hugged, haven't had like people, I haven't been on tubing since for a while. Anyway, yeah, it's been great.
Nice. I know you had like horror tube stories.
Yeah. So. I was like going back through our old episodes. I'm not trying to segue into what this episode is, but I was going back through our old episodes and I listened to the train fart story again. And that story just brought like a wave of emotion back like over me of how fucking horrific it was.
Oh, that's one of my favorites.
I mean, don't worry, it was pretty awful to listen to because I was like tasting it myself. Like, it was disgusting.
It was so bad.
That's so bad. So yeah, so guess what? So today we're gonna do we're going to kick off our best of 2020. This year, I took the initiative to get a little bit more organized and basically send you a massive list of best ofs. So it's likely that this is going to be a two-parter.
It will be a two-parter.
It like, will be a two-parter.
The list she sent was just ridiculous.
Well, this is the thing. Okay, this year we consumed a lot of like a lot of like, you know, media. I don't know. Things we could, yeah, because of just how insane this year was. So I thought I would just, this would be great for anyone who needs any suggestions of things to watch, because it's inevitable we're going to have a third lockdown, I'm sure. You know, listen up and get some ideas, and we can tell you our favorites.
It'll be like our master list.
Yeah, the master list, and there's honorable mentions, and I mean, there's a lot. So I think we'll just get started. All right, so the first one we're going to lead with today is best true crime documentary movie. So I'll go ahead and just start. I think my favorite, now I have to say, I was actually much smarter this year in that I kept a list on my phone all year in my notes section. And every time I watched, read, or listened to something that I really liked, that I rated, I put it on my list. So it made this episode this year a whole lot easier for me anyway. And so my favorite true crime documentary movie this year was American Murder, The Family Next Door. It was horrific. Oh, just got some nods. But it was so very well done and not like anything I had seen before. And it was definitely, I think it was, I know it sounds weird to say it was my favorite. Again, horrific story. But it was the best documentary, true crime documentary I watched this year. How about you, Hannah?
I wrote the same thing.
And Alana?
I also wrote the same thing. Okay, great. For people listening who don't know American Murder, it was a Netflix movie, like one part, one part is a movie, but it was shown completely with real footage. So it was like body cam footage or videos from Facebook that the victim posted and that kind of stuff. So it's kind of like a true crime murder mystery, but in a really multimedia kind of way. And I think that's why it stuck out for me. I annoyingly was not prepared this year, and I did not leave a single note for myself. So American Murder, The Family Next Door was the only one I could think of, but it is really good. And it's certainly, I think it would interest people who aren't necessarily like true crime junkies, because it is done in a way that's quite unique. So if you're not really sure, I think it's a great and terrible introduction, because it does deal with some really awful subject matter, but it was really good.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think we reviewed it in episode 23. So if you want like a full review, you can go back and listen to that. It was such like an upsetting series of events, and to look behind the scenes of that, to see it sort of playing out, was such a fresh way of telling a story. And I was initially concerned about the novelty of this different approach, and that novelty would take away from the story, but it was handled so sympathetically and so carefully by the producers. It was just like one of those like standout true crime documentary movies of the year, I think.
Definitely. I think it gave the victims a voice, because it was a lot of video and their you know, own voice, rather than focused on like Chris Watts, who was, you know, which a lot of them will be about. They'll be like, oh, the Ted Bundy story. And it's like, well, it's that I felt like it was a lot more victim focused because they got a voice, because there's so much footage and text messages, and you really like, you know, I didn't walk away from it feeling like, you know, I knew exactly what, like hearing their voice and like literally and everything figuratively. And I know that the family did help with the, or they contribute, or they think the family, which I think where they got a lot of footage and stuff, which was good that they were able to do that. So yeah, so I guess it's unanimous for our first one. If you haven't watched that, it's our number one recommendation for true crime documentary movie. So I'm going to move on to our next one, and I'm going to go ahead and ask Alana for your answer first, so I don't continue, just in case we have the same one.
I think we probably got the same thing for every answer.
I know. I don't think we do for this next
one. Can you imagine? Okay, I'll be honest. Best documentary movie, any other subject.
Okay.
Mine's blank.
Okay, didn't have anything.
I couldn't think of any documentary worth mentioning this year.
So yeah, that was our next category, was best documentary movie, any other subject. Did you have an answer, Hannah?
I did. I spoke about this in a previous episode, but I put The Secrets of the Saqqara Tomb. Because fucking mummies and shit. Like, it was amazing. They're uncovering tombs in Egypt, like, still to this day. It's 2020. You thought they would have done it all by now. And this is great. Sorry, you're really excited.
Is that what happened? Is that why 2020 is happening? Did they, like, uncover? Is it like the mummy?
They've opened a tomb.
Like, a while ago. I don't know whether it was this year. It was probably last year or something. And they found that cheese in that tomb. And people were like, let us eat the forbidden tomb cheese. And like, no, weren't allowed. And then they kept finding like other things in tombs, like food substances of what would have been like food. And basically it was like forbidden food. But I don't think it's anything to do with that. So that's, I think, where our problem started.
Somebody
we weren't allowed to eat
food.
The forbidden tomb cheese.
No, we should have eaten
the tomb cheese.
Yeah. They found like, I think it was like a lion or a tiger. Mummied, like mummified, like a little baby lion or a little baby tiger, and it was like one of the first ones they'd found.
Oh my God.
And the mummification expert gets like really, really excited, and it's really cool to see someone who's like so well versed in mummification get excited about something. She was like, "This is the first one I've ever seen," and it was just like, "Yeah."
Oh wow!
Sorry.
Is that on Netflix?
It is on Netflix. Yeah, it's great.
So, my next one. is not nearly as like sophisticated as yours. So mine is the documentary. Well, I've just realized it's a documentary series.
We can put that under honorable mentions. I think we skipped that, didn't we?
I did. Do you know what? I'm going to go ahead and just say it because this is a documentary series, but I'll just say it anyway. That's about a different subject. So I loved the series Cheer on Netflix. It was amazing. It's about cheerleading, and I know what you're thinking. You're like, what, you know, why would I watch this? But I loved it. I laughed. I cried. I loved it. It was just about, so in America, maybe I would relate to this more than, like, you guys, or I don't know what it's like in Canada exactly with the whole cheerleading thing. But it was a big part of school and growing up for me. And this was, like, the elite cheerleaders who go to this, to go to college, this cheerleading school, for cheerleading, Navarro. And it's about them in the, like, national championship in Daytona every year and their road to the finals and all the things that happen and people get injured. And then they tell, like, the stories of all the, like, teenagers and their – and, like, a lot of them come from, like, really difficult backgrounds of, like, you know, and the way they've gotten there. And I just loved it and it was amazing. However, one of the best characters in the whole thing, Jerry Harris, he was so lovable. And he – I know a couple of them have gone on to, like – be signed into, I can't remember, like they were on Oprah, like one of the main teacher, Monica, went on to be on Dancing with the Stars in America. And the guy, Jerry Harris, who was so lovable, I loved him. He was arrested like 2 months ago for child pornography and like soliciting minors. And I was just,
oh, shit. Oh, that took a turn.
That took a turn, didn't it?
I did not expect.
Exactly. So we got the true crime element in there kind of in a way. Like, and it was so upsetting. For me, it was awful. And he actually, he's admitted to it. So it's not like it's, devastating. Anyway, it might put a dampener on it now, watching it. But it was a very...
Go watch Cheer.
Yeah, but it was a really good... I loved it. It was a palate cleanser.
I watched two other things this year, like documentary movie, which we're putting under honorable mentions. So the first one I watched was, it's called Trixie Mattel Moving Parts. It's a documentary about a pretty famous drag queen. I think it was actually released at the end of 2019, but I watched it in 2020, so I'm putting it on my list. And that is a theme which will reoccur multiple times. And then something else I watched was Circus of Books. Did you see that on Netflix?
Mm.
No. So in the late 70s, a couple take over an adult bookstore in LA.
Yes.
And that one bookshop turns them into like the biggest distributor of gay porn in the USA.
Amazing. I wanted to watch this.
It's so good. It's a really great insight into LGBTQIAA+ history, and I definitely recommend it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, really good.
Oh, so you had quite a few that you watched that were not... I tend to generally only watch true crime when it comes to documentaries, unfortunately, except for cheerleading, apparently.
which turned into true
which
crime.
Which turned into true crime. So, yeah.
She's just really on brand. That's what it is.
Yeah, what can I say? So now we're going to move on to the best true crime documentary series. So obviously we did movie, and now we're going to do series. Hannah, do you want to go first on this one? What's your...
I think we probably all have the same answer for this. And I put Tiger King. No.
No.
No? True crime docuseries. I put Tiger King and neither of you did.
No. It made my honorable mentions, okay? But it didn't... it wasn't my favorite.
This podcast is over. I'm closing
And I'm sorry.
Bye. Hannah, turn you off. I put Tiger King. It was bananas. It came out just when everyone needed it. Lockdown hits. Everyone's indoors. We all turn to our comfort blanket. That is Netflix. And then we just meet this huge, outlandish cast of characters. There's a guy on a jet ski, a guy in a bathtub, there's cock ring chat. And it just, I wrote, added more spice to a fiery bowl of what the fuck? Suicide, missing arms, country music, hitmen, prison, and then Carol Baskin, which is like a whole other level of bizarreness. It was what we needed when we needed it.
I agree.
That's true.
That is true. It was a hard one, actually. And I'll go ahead and say mine, because mine was I sat in front of my computer going like this, you know, like, because I wasn't sure, because I actually, what ended up being my favorite was Don't Fuck with Cats.
Mm.
I loved that one. I thought it was very good, very well made. The story was fucking bonkers as well. And I thought it was so cool. It was the one about, I've just forgotten his name. And
Luca Magnotta.
Yes, Luca Magnotta. I did not write it in my notes. Yes, it was about the story of him and how some like web sleuths also, they didn't necessarily help catch him, but you know, they actually were onto him a lot sooner than the police were. And that story was great. And I thought it was just really well done. Loved it. 10 out of 10 for me. So, Alana, what's yours?
Now, I actually picked one we have not talked about yet. So if you are a new listener, you can go back. We cover Don't Fuck with Cats, and we do cover Tiger King. That was like earlier in the summer, I think. Mm. My best true crime documentary series is McMillions, which I did not think I was going to be that interested in. But it is a mini series about the McDonald's Monopoly game and how that was scammed between 1989 and 2001. So it launched last March, so March 2020, and I didn't really hear anything about it. But for some reason, my partner was like, yeah, you want to watch McMillions? I was like, oh, you know, sure, I guess. Like, it's not my typical type of crime because obviously it's, you know, it's a white collar.
Yeah.
They're scamming McDonald's, basically. But it was so good. I think you guys would both really, really, really like it. It's such a dry topic, but the interviews are hilarious. And it actually really dives into the people that participated in this scam. So basically they would like buy the instant $1 million winner tickets for Monopoly McDonald's game. So you'd buy it from like a mobster kind of guy, and then you'd go claim it, but then you would owe him a lot of the money. And a lot of them actually got scammed because they didn't realize, you know, you have to pay tax. So there's a lot of like financial stuff in the story, obviously, but it's told in a way that is so interesting. And I gotta say, if you've watched it, there's an FBI agent, Doug, I think his name was, who is featured quite heavily. He's part of it. And he is the most eccentric, weird man I've ever seen. And he's so pumped about this story. And he just really wants to tell you what happened. So yeah, McMillions, if you are ever bored, give it a watch. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And for something that's like really boring financial crime, it's really, really funny.
I've heard about McMillions. I heard it was good. I heard quite a few people say it was quite good. But I never got around to watching it. So actually, I'm going to put that on my own list of like things to watch.
Yeah, if you're ever bored.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's quite good, actually. We ended up having different picks for our favorite true crime documentary series. Any honorable mentions? I know that I had Tiger King, as I mentioned, and Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah, Tiger King, Don't Fuck with Cats. Those were all good. Unsolved Mysteries, Season 2, Episode 2 would also be on honorable mentions, but that needs to be very specific.
Yeah. I also had Killer Inside, The Mind of Aaron Hernandez.
Oh, yeah.
That was earlier in the year, wasn't it?
That was very good as well.
That was really good. I didn't know the outcome of that story. So when I watched it, I didn't know that he killed himself in prison.
Yeah.
So that was really like, I think I was on the train when I watched it and I remember just being like, like that deep sort of like suck in of breath probably scared some people on the train.
Were you as shocked as Alana, who found out like in one of our last episodes that Maria Marta had actually been shot 6 times? What?
That was my, I put that down as like my favorite reaction of the year.
Damn. Sorry.
Shocked.
All right. So next we have our best documentary series, any other subject. Okay, so actually mine should have been Cheer, but I've muddled mine up. Sorry about that. So I actually have Cheer for that. It wasn't a movie. It was a series. Hannah, what do you have?
I watched a 6-part series about the Kennedys.
Wow.
Oh.
How was that?
I have no idea when it was released, but we watched it on More4 in November, I think it was.
Yeah.
It was called The Kennedys, Tragedy and Triumph. And it was actually really good. It has like interviews, family. There's like interviews from the family members. And there are like a lot of Kennedys. Like there are loads of them.
They're pretty cursed.
And it starts, so cursed. It starts with the story of the patriarch of the family and then chronologically goes through the highs and lows of the Kennedy family history. So it talks about, it goes through sort of like JFK, like RFK. It talks about the, what's the one where the woman dies in the car? Anyway, there's another Kennedy who's involved with a girl who dies in a car. It was like a big scandal because obviously after JFK was assassinated, they wanted his brother, RFK, like Bobby Kennedy, to become president.
Mm, yeah.
And then he's obviously assassinated. This isn't spoilers. This is, I think everyone knows
this. It's called history.
This is history.
I don't know a huge amount about American history because like we weren't taught it in school.
Oh, yeah. Of course you weren't. Sorry, so sorry.
And then there's like another Kennedy. I think it's like the youngest brother, and they want to sort of like push him towards becoming like great politically. And he just has this huge scandal where he's driving someone in a car and he drives off a dock or something.
Yes, I remember now.
Yeah, but it's called something, and I can't remember what it's called. It's called the something something incident. It's gonna come to me at like 3 a.m. This morning. I'm gonna wake up and text you both. And it's brilliant. It's really, really good. It's on More4. I don't know whether it's still available, but you should be able to find it somewhere on the internet.
Oh, right. Oh, that's really good. I know we learn about it at school in America, obviously. No reason to learn about it here. Or probably in Canada either. That's great. Did you have anything, Alana?
I did not. I feel like I had a school assignment and I didn't do it. I'm so sorry. I watched a fair amount of TV this year. So when we get to the TV section, I have a lot of things to talk about, but no documentary type stuff.
You're like, I just needed escapism. Like, didn't want to learn
this
year.
I just need something funny.
All right. So we're going to move over to podcasts. So we have Best True Crime Podcast this year. And Alana, would you like to go first?
I would love to. Canary, period. So I think it was our episode 27. We talk about Canary from the Washington Post. That one blew my mind. It is about sexual assault, so it's quite heavy if you haven't listened to that episode already. But yeah, Canary was one of those ones where, A, it made me cry, like tears, like big, fat, ugly tears. But I thought about it a lot when I wasn't listening to it. And I think that's a good sign that it was decent because we consume so much stuff. A lot of the time it just goes in and comes back out. That's why I can't remember half of these categories because nothing like stuck. Nothing stood out for me.
Sticking
though.
Nothing stuck. But Canary, oh my goodness. It was so raw, and it, like you guys were talking about in the episode, it is very reminiscent of stories like S-Town and Ballad of Billy Balls, where it's so much bigger than it originally starts out to be. So yeah, went hands down was Canary for me.
I had the same thing. So that was also my favorite true crime podcast this year, for all the reasons that you mentioned. It was just very well done, very well investigated, very well told, to the point of it brought out a lot of emotion whilst I was listening. So definitely my favorite this year. And Hannah, what about you?
I actually had two because I couldn't decide between them. So I'm going to put two in because I can. I also had Canary. It was great. I'm not going to rehash what you both just said. And I also had Detective Trap.
Oh. Oh, shoot.
God, that feels like a million years ago.
Doesn't it?
I know. I had like a rudimentary list of things that I wanted. I knew we were going to do a best of 2028 light episode, so I had like a rudimentary list. But I'd completely forgotten about this one. And I had to, I was going back through our website of all things and looking at things we'd previously reviewed.
Amazing. Good idea.
But yeah, Detective Chap, I think it was brilliant. All I know is that I want to be Jalissa Chap when I grow up.
Do you know what? I must have not put that on my list. That's weird. I must have missed that one because I definitely, you know what? That was...
It was definitely this year, wasn't it?
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah, it must have been early.
Yeah, why not?
It must have been early.
I think it was, you know, really
that's the one where she, that's the one where she's the detective, mm-hmm. like, in California, and yeah. she starts connecting murdered women and stuff, right?
Yeah, that was fantastic. So definitely.
Yeah, really good.
You're right. I would actually pick those two as the best as well.
Yeah, I like how they, like, capture the year, like, the beginning and the end of the year. We have these two mm. really, really great yeah. podcasts, and everything else in the middle, therefore, just turned to dust for me. So I'm really sorry.
Also, do you know what? I also had another one that I kind of put on there, and I talked about it in our last Best Of episode, but I just wanted to remind everyone to re-listen to it because it was so good because it actually finished in the new year. So part of the episodes played in 2019, part of them finished in 2020, and that was Catch and Kill with Ronan Farrow, which I always really thought that was really well done. It was about the Harvey Weinstein thing. I know you guys couldn't really get into it, could you? Or Hannah, you said you couldn't get into it. But I really...
No, I remember, like, I wanted it all to come out before I listened to yeah. it. And I remember going for walks, like, when the pandemic sort of first hit. And I was, like, listening to it. And I was just, like, zoning out. So I'm really sorry.
That's okay. No, I know what you mean. And again, it's about sexual assault. It's, you know, it's not necessarily pleasurable listening. But I really like Ronan Farrow. And I thought he did a really good job with it. And I like his voice. So that was my other one. But so moving on. Best podcast... by any other subject, like any other subject. Do you know, I don't have any like serialized ones about another subject that I listened to that wasn't about crime. I do listen to other podcasts, but they are like, you know, conversational ones. They're not serialized ones. So for me, I listen to a podcast called For Crying Out Loud, and that is, I listen to 3 episodes a week from them. And anyone who is maybe in North America might know, especially around my age, might know who Adam Carolla is. He is, his wife is on the podcast with another writer and comedian, Stephanie Wilder Taylor, and they literally talk about life, mom stuff, marriage. They love true crime. So they talk about, like, I sometimes get suggested. That's how I actually found Date with Dateline. It's through them. And another one I really like is Hollywood. Is it Hollywood Crime Scene? Yeah, Hollywood Crime Scene. I found through them. Love that one. So they're actually just really good. Like, I feel like we'd be friends. I like to think we're friends. They don't know it, but I mean, like, I'm friends. Yeah, so that's my really, like, I listen to some political ones, but I haven't actually listened to any serialized ones about any other subject. How about you guys?
Hannah, would you like to go first?
I have one standout and 2 honorable mentions. My best non-crime podcast this year was The Walker's Switch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Which I understand has a very narrow audience in that it's only really geared towards British people. It made me question my own reality, my memory, whether Gary Lineker is in fact a real person. It was fantastic. It was so good. I think I did a full like review of it.
On yeah, the episode, you did. It was good.
And I didn't write the episode number down. So sorry about that. But yeah, it was really, really good. Really funny. Like on... still can't decide whether or not they are just like full on taking the piss or whether it is serious. But I very much enjoyed The Walker's Switch.
I liked that one. I listened to it as well. It was good.
So best podcast, any other subject. Teacher, I went off script and I picked another true crime because I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
It's our podcast. We can do whatever we want.
There's a couple podcasts that I listen to. One that comes to mind is Off Menu with James Acaster. Yeah, James Acaster and Ed Gamble. They basically invite a guest to their imaginary restaurant, and then that guest gets to pick their ultimate menu. But I haven't actually listened to that in a long time. So that's it's still a great podcast. Go listen to it. I need to get back into it. But the one that comes to mind for me, best podcast, is Date with Dateline that Anna mentioned.
Yeah.
I am so grateful that you brought that up because I fucking love it. So basically, it's these two friends and they recap a Dateline episode in a really funny way. And it's so just like very silly and very down to earth and relatable and just kind of ridiculous. So I love it. And I've actually put, so in my honorable mentions, I put Dateline. So this is how I see it. Honorable mentions, Dateline, which is just the audio version of Dateline episodes, which is like my OG. It's like a comfort listen. If I don't know what to listen to, I put a Dateline on. It's murder, but it is easy listening. And then the best podcast of any other subject, of course, Date with Dateline. So sometimes I will listen to the Dateline episode, like maybe while I'm exercising or I'm going for a walk or I'm like cleaning or something. And then a little while later, I will actually listen to the Date with Dateline episode, even though it's the same story, which I realize is ridiculous. The way that they retell it is so funny that it's a lot less about the actual crime. So if you want something, you want the serious version, you listen to the Dateline episode. Mm. You want the ridiculous version, you listen to a Date with Dateline. But I love both of them. I am a Dateline bitch through and through, and I will die this way.
We need to get that on a shirt from you, Dateline bitch.
Yeah. I'm a Dateline bitch. I love that.
I love it. That is the best. Honorable mentions, I also put Motive for Murder because that was good. I mean, that's Dateline.
was the thing about Pam this year or last year?
Last year.
That was last year.
Okay. Yeah, this year was Motive for Murder.
Right, yeah. Yeah, right.
So I put that,
which was good, but it wasn't as good as The Thing About Pam, that, which was
still good, though. Nuts.
I don't think you could top The Thing About Pam. That was
amazing.
That was the thing.
Yeah, so that was my other one. Motor for Murder was my other one. I listened to a lot of Dateline as well. I only got into that from the pandemic as well. It's like sometimes I just wanted one story. And you know what? I like the ones that are like an hour and 45 minutes. Like, I will choose those any day over. I will usually sometimes listen to the long ones. And then only when I have nothing left, I go back and listen to the shorter 45 minutes ones because I just like the longer stories usually better. All right.
I had those two honorable mentions, which are non-crime, which we were supposed to still be on.
Sorry.
Yeah, all right.
I'm loving it. Sorry. I didn't create the list. I'm just enforcing the list.
Yeah, I didn't do a really good job of the list. I apologize, listeners. I'll do better in 2021.
So I had two. I had there's one called In Search of Black History with Bonnie Greer. It's on Audible. Part of the synopsis reads, brings you face to face with the people you never knew existed, people whose stories tell us a different tale about who we are. From the earliest glimmerings of modern humanity up until the present day, Bonnie Greer uncovers the lives of people of African descent that don't fit in with the accepted history of Western civilization that we've traditionally been taught. And it was really good. There's eight episodes. She's a fantastic storyteller. She liaises and speaks to people from like the British Museum and like a lot of experts as well. So it's really, really, really well researched and it's great. I would strongly recommend it. And the other one, which I've only just finished listening to, is called My Year in Mensa.
Really?
Did either of you?
No, never heard of it.
No.
So there's a comedian called Jamie Loftus and she joins Mensa for a year and she has this like this experience. She takes the test as a joke while she's hungover and she passes. And then she writes a blog post called Good News, They Let Dumb Sluts into Mensa Now.
I love it.
Which at that point had me hooked. And she joins a Facebook group called Firehouse, which is an unmoderated official Facebook group for American Mensans. And she discovers that some of Mensa has this super like alt-right underbelly.
Mm.
And the story is bananas. It really is. She gets like death threats. She gets people calling her like dumb cunt constantly. She goes to this like meetup and she like recounts her stories and like what the people are like and how one of them just like proudly walks around with like a Make America Great Again like hat. It's kind of scary but really, really funny. And when she's describing it and when she's talking about her experiences, sometimes she lists things or she'll say something and she'll just add in like really funny sound effects to the point where I was sitting down at my desk trying to write something and I was listening to it and I was just like giggling at my desk because it was just so funny. So yeah, if you want just like, it's four episodes, really short, like four episode little thing, But yeah, that
sounds good. Actually, I'm gonna have to download that. It sounds really funny.
Yeah,
it sounds really interesting.
Yeah, she's got like a really dry sense of humor, and it's great. I really enjoyed that one.
I think we've learned today that Hannah's much more of an intellectual. I'm obviously a potato. I'm like, very much cheerleading.
I'm just like, I listen to Dateline, and then I listen to Date with Dateline, which is the same fucking story.
And she's like, well, I listen to this about Black history and Egyptians and like, like
Mensa.
Okay. That was my favorite cheerleading documentary. Okay. So on that note, I think we will stop for now and we will have you join us in our part two best of, which will be next Wednesday. So come back to us. We still have a shitload of categories to go through. So we'll see you then. If you want to check out our website, murderfriends.com, you can email us at murderfriendspod@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at murderfriendspd and Instagram at murderfriendspod. And we will see you next time. All right,
bye.